Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Heald, something very special on the show right now. We've got ESPN's Laurie Horace joining us from Vegas. Yeah. It's getting closer, the big game. Laurie, good morning to you. Well, good morning in Australia. Thanks for joining us. This is exciting, isn't it?
I have to say this. I'm standing here on about the 400 level at Allegiant Stadium, looking down on the field. It is an absolute picture. This stadium is truly a marvel. I've been lucky enough to get to a few football stadiums, big stadiums in the United States before, and this one is an absolute vision. So the energy is building. The music you can probably hear a little in the background, but it is someday, and I think we're all in for something very, very special when these two teams take the field.
And Laurie, from the outside, how many stories are above the ground and how many below the ground of Allegiant?
Oh, that's a really good question. I believe they've just got the lower tier, like the lower bowl, that would be below the ground. Just looking, looking out through the windows now, just trying to gauge that. And then I think once you get to the 200 and 300 level tier, you're back above the entry level. But it is something you consistently do see with American stadiums. I know with Jerry World in Arlington in Texas, it was a very weird, weird feeling the first time I walked in there. You walk in through doors and then all of a sudden you're getting pointed downstairs, but it does create an amazing atmosphere. And the day, it has been freezing cold, I will say, in Las Vegas all week, something that my soft Sydney side ascendancies aren't used to. But it's an absolute picture out there. You can see the mountains, snow-capped mountains in the distance, and it's a blue sky out there. And I think whilst this is an indoor stadium, so we don't need to worry about weather, it's all set up for quite an atmosphere. And look, we're either getting legacies made or legacies even built more with Kansas City Chiefs and with the 49ers. We're getting the narrative that Kyle Shanahan and co. can't get over the final hump. We're getting that flipped on its head.
Yes.
Hey, with all the narratives around, I'll talk about Taylor Swift in a moment, but I see that the 49ers are sort of claiming underdog status. They said that there seems to be some sort of conspiracy theories that they were given a substandard training field. They even had a fire alarm at their hotel at 6 o'clock in the morning. They're saying that was set up as well.
Oh, I mean, every week in Super Bowl week, we do hear stories like that. And, someone's trying to do something underhanded. I know the Philadelphia Eagles felt they had some adversity to overcome in their setup last year in the Super Bowl. I don't think there's a conspiracy theory. I think people can dive into that all they want. But as for the 49ers claiming underdog status, last I checked at the bookies across the board, the 49ers were slight favourites here, 2-point favourites, maybe 1.5 points, depending where you're seeing it. But I think this one, it's so evenly poised. It's not going to be something that, a couple of soggy training paddocks or whatever it was that is going to prove the distance here. But I think we've got two very balanced, very talented teams that can take the ball away on defense, that can beat you in different ways on offense. And when you're looking at two talented teams, very aggressive in nature as well, very creative in terms of the coaching and the game calling, I think it could be some fundamentals that's going to be the decisive factor here. And I don't like to limit it down to something tiny, but I really do think when we look at things like tackling and limiting big plays when ball players have the ball in their hand, that's going to be crucial because there's so much talent on the field at the receiver spot and the running back spot for both teams.
Yeah, there's good pressure on, that's for sure. The public sentiment seems to be with the San Francisco 49ers. Is that heartfelt or respect for the Chiefs?
Oh, look, I think, whenever you, you could be the hero or you stay around long enough to become the villain, and with the Kansas City Chiefs, this much success has naturally turned some public sentiment against them. We see it with dynasties, throughout the NFL. We saw it with the Patriots. We saw it with Dallas Cowboys. We've seen it with Steelers. These types of dynasties tend to turn public sentiment. People like something fresh and something new. And obviously Brock Purdy, this is someone who was the last pick in his draft, Mr. Irrelevant. We know all of that. Kyle Shanahan, who is such a gifted offensive mind, but in some ways a bit of not a tragic figure, but a poignant figure in terms of coming up short. He was obviously the offensive coordinator in the 28-3 collapse for the Atlanta Falcons. But I do think public sentiment's there, and I think the crowd will probably be a little towards the 49ers. It was 4 years ago in Miami, probably at 60-40. But those Chiefs fans can go above their Bills number. It helps, I know, 4 years ago when they had Eric Stone Street getting on camera revving them up. But I do think that the crowd will probably lean, at least my experience this week at opening night and walking the street, there's a little more 49er uniforms out there in the crowd than Chiefs.
And I'll give us your take on the Mahomes-Kelce combination. It's been lethal, particularly in the postseason.
Oh, it's quite simply one of the greatest 1-2 punches in the history of the NFL. You know, Travis Kelce has an innate ability to not just beat his man one-on-one and whatever the route's called, but when Patrick Mahomes does go into scramble mode, as he's known to do, Travis Kelce has a fantastic ability to feel for where the open spot is in the defense, settle into an area and create some chunk plays between him and Mahomes. They have an innate connection. They see the game very similarly. Perhaps Travis Kelce's pass as a quarterback, you know, prior to playing quarterback at the junior level of football, maybe that helps how he sees the field and how he connects with what Patrick Mahomes thinks out there. But they are one of the greatest tandems we've seen in the NFL, and particularly in the postseason. They don't shy away from the big moments. And, you know, we've seen what Kelce's done in recent weeks, despite the fact that we were questioning if he'd gone past his prime during the regular season. And then for Mahomes, he's now played 17 postseason games. His record in those postseason games is 14-3. He's thrown almost 4,800 yards in those 17 games, 39 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. That's an MVP season out of 17 games in his postseason career against the best teams in the NFL. All you need to know about the tier these guys are able to go to at the biggest stage.
You mentioned Kyle Shanahan. That's one of the great matchups. Andy Reid and he. Will versatility be needed in here? Will they need to make some pretty big changes at times, or will their normal game style suffice?
I think for Kyle Shanahan, I hope, and I know, I mean, Kyle Shanahan's forgotten more about football than most of us will ever know, but they would have had a really good look at what the Baltimore Ravens did and try to do the opposite. The Baltimore Ravens went away from the run game despite being in that contest, despite being a very talented running team. San Francisco 49ers, also a very talented running attack. They rank in the top three, top five in most rushing statistics as a team. Mm-hmm. What the Baltimore Ravens did, getting one-dimensional, dropping back and trying to send passes deep against a Steve Spagnuolo defense that likes to tee off and get creative with their blitzes, so sending lots of bodies after the quarterback. The 49ers just do a need to avoid that trap. But Kyle Shanahan, as long as they just have to maintain some balance, as long as if they can get that run game going early and then build the passing attack off that. And there's an old line from one of the Mighty Ducks movies, you know, learning how to play two-way hockey, playing two-way football, keeping that very aggressive and talented Kansas City Chiefs defense on their toes or on their heels a little bit, not knowing exactly what's coming, avoiding one-dimensional football. That's going to be massive for Kyle Shanahan. And look, for him, it's actually interesting because he's kind of where Andy Reid was when Andy Reid finished up with the Philadelphia Eagles, one of the most gifted offensive minds, honestly seen as one of the game-changing offensive thinkers in the NFL. And yet, for Andy Reid in Philadelphia, he was unable to get over the hump and win that Super Bowl. What he's done in Kansas City Chiefs has changed his narrative. And now, Kyle Shanahan in a similar spot to where Reid was, you know, a decade or so ago, but another chance to change that narrative and earn Super Bowl victory just like his father did.
Hey, you knew the question was coming. Can we give, just before we leave you, can you give us a Tay-Tay update?
Well, I just want to give some credit to Taylor Swift. I mean, whether you're a big fan of her music or not, all the graphs, all the images, all the maps that people were drawing up on social media, oh, she'll need to leave at this time and this time, she'll need to get this connecting flight. She beat the mark by hours and hours and hours. I think she beat it by about 8 hours on what we might have thought the arrival time was. So credit to her. You know, that's a Swift by name, Swift by nature. So she'll be here. I'm sure she'll be on screen. I think the mark I saw around the traps was over under 7.5 Taylor Swift appearances on screen. I like the under on that a bit. I think you know, going to 2 Taylor Swift shots per quarter, I think that's a little rich, particularly because with these two deep, I think these two offenses, we know what San Francisco can do when they get that, when they get on a roll. And look at what Kansas City did when they were protecting Patrick Mahomes in the first half against Baltimore. Really long drives. So if you think that, you know, during this game there's going to be a quarter where the San Francisco 49ers put together a 12-play, 9-minute drive, that's a long stretch to not be cutting away to Taylor Swift, because we're not getting cutaways there when George Kittle picked up a first down.
Well, if they're going well, she's on. If they're going really bad, she'll be on. And if it's really tight, she'll be on.
Yeah. Hey, Laurie, brilliant the chat. Can't wait for this game. I mean, back in Australia, it's generated massive interest. It just seems to be getting bigger and bigger globally, doesn't it, every year?
It absolutely does. I think in Australia, we think days off, right? Days off that people take on the working day. We know a lot about sporting events happen on the weekend, but you think about the Melbourne Cup on a Tuesday that people take off from work. And Super Bowl Monday has become one of the biggest. I think it may be, is it the second biggest day off that people take from work and, to you know, head to the pub and, you know, maybe there's a corporate event, maybe you're just meeting up with your friends to watch the game. But it grows bigger and bigger every year. And for all this talk about Taylor Swift and history and all that, look, you got a chance to be part of history if you tune into this game, because I think it's a very, very good chance that we're seeing a record-breaking audience tune into this one in America and around the world.
Righto, Laurie. Who are you tipping?
I am going with the Kansas City Chiefs here. 26-20 is my pick. I see a good offense performance, but enough splash plays from the defense to stall out some drives there. And I'm leaning towards Kansas City because I think they have a better quarterback. I think they have a more solid offensive line across the board, especially where they've been protecting Patrick Mahomes the last month or so. And I prefer their defense and the impact players they have at all three levels compared to San Francisco, which I think have shown some issues defending the run. We'll see if Kansas City can exploit that.
Brilliant. From ESPN, Laurie Horace. Laurie, really appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thanks, Laurie.
An absolute pleasure. Thanks, guys.